Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the book of Revelation, chapter 18, you know that scripture which I keep on referring to. Verse 4, come out of them, my people. Come out of Babylon, my people. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and yet to receive of her plagues. Come out of Babylon. Now, of course, I've spoken about this Babylon for very, very long. Come out of this system, a city of Babylon. Now there's a city of Zion, there's a city of Babylon. And we are coexisting with both of them. They exist in our hearts. So your heart either is in Zion or it is in Babylon. Now there are characteristics of Babylon and there are characteristics of Zion. There are things which are true for Zion and for Babylon, and they cannot be true for both. So you're either here or the other side. And when you read the book of Revelation chapter 6, and it talks about the seals that were unleashed. The first one, it says, when I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, of course, when people initially, of course, myself, when I read it, I thought the white horse refers to, you know, the Lord, because somewhere else towards the end of Revelation text says he comes riding on a white horse. But this one is a counterfeit, because remember, it says the Lamb opened, you know, it starts with the Lamb opening the seal and saying, come and see. And then somebody riding on a white horse. And then he comes out to conquer and conquering and to conquer. Now that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And of course, riding a white horse because it's counterfeit, trying to look like the Christ. But there's something which I saw there, which I know is very, very prevalent right now in the world. It's later on, I think, in the fourth seal, the third or fourth seal, where he said the black horse, we are released, and there was a black horse. And then the black horse, it says, so I looked and behold the pale, no, the black one, not pale. That was the other one. Then he says that, then he saw a man who had scales, you know, to come and weigh. Then he said a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarters of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine. When he opened the third seal, I had third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a black horse, and he sat on it and had a pair of scales in his hand. Okay? And I had a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, in the headlines, it says, scarcity unleashed on earth. Okay? Now, people do not realize that one of the main things about Babylon is scarcity. Because they teach people to consider things scarce, which God never intended to be scarce whatsoever. Now, that man who was the head of the World Economic Forum, Zebag's man, when he stepped down at the age of 88, by the way, you know, he stepped down at the age of 88 and the Pope died at the age of 88. I just found that interesting. But anyway, when he stepped down, he was replaced by another man who was once the head of Nestle. Nestle, the guys who make, you know, all those things, Nescafe, milk, and all that. And this man once said that people should not consider water to be a human right. They have to pay for water because, you know, water is a precious thing. Now, people don't realize that the devil is a master at making things which are not supposed to be scarce. And that's how the system operates. Anywhere you are in the world, you dig here what is down. Eh? God, like God made enough water for everybody. You can shower and swim and until paka last. But you see, now if they create an impression that there is something. By the way, let me tell you this. I saw somebody even saying that even oil, there is oil all over. There is enough oil for everybody. But somehow they have to keep it scarce to keep its value. And everything has to be scarce. Now the next thing, of course, the other thing that they are going to make very scarce is food. You know, food. Now somebody, actually my wife was telling me that doctors discovered a certain kind of diabetes, mostly in Nuweru. This is a true story. Now, this diabetes is not caused by what you know. Like somebody eats a lot of carbohydrates or sugars and what, and somehow the body becomes either resistant to sugar or, you know, overloaded with sugar, and then it responds. Now, this one, they're calling it type 5 diabetes because they studied, and it's actually caused by hunger. Too little sugar. And the body rebels. So, you find people very small, like a Kenna's size, he has diabetes. You say, where did you get it from? The guy wakes up in the morning to dig, and what, but you, where did you get diabetes from? Somebody with your lifestyle, because they're supposed to be lifestyle sicknesses. Now you find somebody who has a lifestyle that has nothing to do with being positioned, but they have diabetes. And actually it has been, they tried to take it to the Bazungu. They said, we'll not recognize it. She told me that India recognized this kind of diabetes, which is caused by too little, not too much. Now, the end of scarcity, where everything that is needed, they want to make it scarce. And that is even going to include, by the way, air to breathe. And they condition people in a certain way. You remember COVID? There is not enough oxygen. There is not enough oxygen. Where did the oxygen go? That the country doesn't have enough oxygen. Okay, now I'm not a medical person. But you see, I know this, that there is, before God created man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he created everything Adam would ever need before he ever made Adam. So there is, because he didn't want, like he did not plan for a time when Adam doesn't have what is necessary. But you see, even the scarcity was part of the fall. And so these people said, now we don't have enough oxygen. But for us, we are breathing the oxygen, which was there, provided by God, free of charge, not in cylinders. Okay? And then, now very soon, there's not going to be enough food. Now, depending on whom you listen to, they're saying the resources, and you know they're the masters of this thing, the resources in the earth are not enough to feed the 8 billion people on the earth. Then I was listening to another scientist who said there's enough food on the earth to feed 50 billion people. And I say, now this one is the one who knows God, because God does not do anything enough. There is nothing that he does enough. He is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. If there were 50 billion, there would be food to feed 150 billion. Everything about him is more than what? He's the God of more than enough. Now, and that is the mindset of Zion. That there is no scarcity. I do not exist in scarcity. Scarcity is manufactured by Babylon around me to make me feel that something is running out. Anything that I get is running out. And then it crystallizes somehow in people's minds. And everything you do, you come from a place of scarcity. Because now I can ask you that, and I want you to know that it's a mindset. It is not a condition of want or not want, or, you know, of lacking. It's a mindset. It reminds me of that joke by Kanya of when he went home and his son was very sad. And so he asked him, Junior, why are you very sad? Then the boy said that, you remember the 1,000 shillings you gave me in the morning? I lost it. So the father says, hey, okay, don't worry. Here is another 1,000 shillings to replace it. Now the boy started waiting. Yeah! Then he says, now what's the problem? He said, now I'd be having 2,000. Now, let me tell you, unless you train your mind otherwise, the surrounding around is like that. You can come, and I ask you, how much money do you need to sort your issues? You said it, say 20 million. If I give you 20 million, say, I wish it was 40. True or false? Hey, now, you have to train yourself. Now, you know that you've swallowed the spirit of scarcity. Now, even if I gave you 40, you would wail. And say, now, man, if you had made it 100. And now, again, and you'll never have enough. Because scarcity exists. If it is in your mind, it's going to crystallize somehow in your life. Now, if you choose to actually live abundance and practice abundance, it will become a reality in your life. So that you are thankful for every small thing and you treat it as if it's abundance. Let's say you want 5 million and I give you 1 million. Man, God, thank you very much. This is so powerful. Now I can use this for what? And you don't consider in your mind. Now, of course, you have to train yourself because the whole scenario around you is built on abundance. You get your salary, you're thinking about the next salary. True or false? For the most part. You're having lunch, you're thinking about what? And now you know that you've been trained by the system of the world. But let me tell you something. There is nothing that God ever did that is enough. He always does more than enough. Praise the Lord. He always does what? And now you have to you have to force your mind to know that I will always have more than what I need. Well, as he says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Where he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that you, always having all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work. Or you can say, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that you, always having all sufficiency, you are sufficient in everything. Now, may have an abundance, you can say, for every good work. But you can say, an abundance from every good work. So every good work that you have, you say, I have to have something. I have to have an abundance left over. I was planning this. I was planning a party. After the party, I expect to have an abundance from this good work. Now, when you train yourself like that, you will actually have the abundance. Then you get away from the mindset of. So if you end up on the dot, I remember when I had the Watchman conference, I ended up and I was 3 million shillings in debt after the conference. Then I said, where did I get this debt from? And now I want you to know that it was a real big problem for me. Not that I didn't have the 3 million shillings, but how can I have? You have to know I meditated on this scripture until it was coming out of my nose of everywhere. Everything, even all my powers in the body were breathing this scripture. Now, so when I said, how can I have debt? Like I'm supposed to have an abundance from every good work. If I building after building, I have what? Abundance. If I go to have a meal after eating, I have what? If I go to buy shoes or clothes, I have to have an abundance. Now, you train your mind like that. That I'm going to have an abundance. If I'm going to buy a suit, and the suit is 2.5 million, somehow I'll end up with, like maybe at least 500,000 after buying the suit. Yet I went to buy that suit with that amount of money. So now you train yourself, your soul, to live in abundance. And so I asked myself how that came about. Then the Lord reminded me of something which I did. And I let some guy play around with our finances. And he actually took a lot of money, a lot more than 3 million. And told me that you made a mistake. That's how come you ended up with that. With that whatever. So now now it makes sense. I know where it came from. But now all the consequent ones, I made sure that somehow, when we are through, there is an abundance. And if there is not, I question myself, where did I go wrong? There's supposed to be something. After we've done everything and every bill has been paid, I expect there to be some abundance left. Because that may have an abundance for every good work or from every good work. Now you train your mind. And now you're countering a system of the world that insists that you're supposed to be in scarcity. And you've been trained in it from the day you were born. There's not enough this, there's not enough that. Sometimes, of course, genuinely, you know, your mind has been trained to know that there's not enough milk. You know that sort of thing. There's not enough sugar. The children will take sugar only. And that, so now, so you're coming against Babylon. You're coming against the system of your conditioning from childhood. You're coming against everything. But now, you're supposed to get a scripture and say, now all that was a lie. I am supposed to have an abundance from every good work. Every good thing I do, I expect that at the end of it all, I should have something extra. Now, that is not going to take 1 week or 2 weeks. But if you train your mind to expect an abundance and not to think scarcity, you will always have the abundance. Praise the Lord. And now then you will escape the system of Babylon, which presents itself through different things. And I want to tell you that this scarcity mentality creeps in. Even for the people, the scripture says, let him who stands beware lest he falls. Because I've also caught myself every now and again thinking scarcity. And then I have to go and say, hey, how did I get here? This is not where I'm supposed to be. Now it says, let him who stands beware lest he does what? He falls. You can think you know something, you've mastered it, you've not. You have to keep on. There has to be a continual refresher course. Because remember, you're standing against a tide of the world which pushes you in this way. How did you do this? Where did you go? You know, where do you get money to do this? Well, you know, money is this, money is that. So you say, no. Now I live in an abundance. And these systems of the world, not just here, by the way, let me tell you, there are things in the world which you have to resist continually because they are permanently put in your face. Amen? For instance, Paul tells the children, the Galatians, tells the Galatians, that I fear lest I labored in vain. Because he said, I presented to you Christ and him crucified. You received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Who deceived you to go back to the works of the law? That now you have to be circumcised, now you have to do what? Now you have to, you know, those things, which even the church is full of right now. Okay? I'm not talking about circumcision. That's we've gone past that. But you know this thing where people condemn themselves and what? Because they did this wrong. And so they live their lives in the temptation, like Eve. Eh? Where in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, God puts her in a garden. Puts them and Adam in a garden. And says, eat of all the fruit. Eat of the fruit of life. But do not eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. I am telling you, the world loves the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, somebody this is, what you did was wrong. Wrong according to who? You see, let me tell you, if the devil can make you sin conscious, you're finished. You will never have any spiritual experience. People will be flying with the angels and you'll never have any. Now, you will not have because you're sin conscious. Now, the people who are flying with angels, it's not that they don't have what you call sin. They have it, but they're not conscious of it. Now, that's the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You understand? Now, when you live in that consciousness, and now the world presents it like that. And now I know even some man, powerful prophet whose books I used to read. But somewhere along the way, like the revelation goes down and down and down, then I realized why. Now he's talking about, you know, he starts by repenting that, you know, the truth is I'm a bit racist. I don't like black men so much. Which is, I don't know. I don't care. For me, I was enjoying his what? His revelation. I don't care that he minds my skin color. It doesn't matter to me. But then he starts sanitizing himself, making himself, you know. Now you see, this is what. So you have to live in holiness. End of story. Nothing. That will be the end of your spiritual experiences. End of them, I'm telling you. Like the knowledge of, and now when the devil comes, he does not come with telling you. He will come telling you, you have to live in holiness. And now when you received Jesus Christ, you knew it had nothing to do with you. You knew that something had changed, and it was not because you changed any behavior of yours. You knew that something had changed inside you. And somehow you know it until you go out there. Then they say, Yakozatia, what did you? They do this. Then now you start
drinking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God did not accept you based on what you did. Like, and that's what, and now that's what Paul was telling the Galatians. That how did this doctrine creep into you? Like, I left when I had preached to you properly. That there is no justification by the law. Okay? It says that in Romans 3:19. Let's read that. Romans 3:19-20. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, this is what he's saying. Okay, verse 20. Go to verse 20. That therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, God had a purpose for giving laws. To make you guilty. Not to make you innocent. You cannot make yourself innocent. You're lying yourself. The purpose was to make you guilty. Why? So that you say, I need Jesus. Now, once you say, I need Jesus, there is no more guilt. You fulfilled all, everything the law was there for. Was just to bring you to the end of yourself and show you that you need a savior. Okay? Now, the trouble is when you try to cleanse yourself. Now, that is the end of spirituality. That is the end of prosperity. I'm telling you, you cannot, you will never experience true prosperity when you still have. That's why the devil comes and makes it creep in. Okay? The next thing you realize, okay, I did this, but I'm not righteous here. I'm not what? So you start trying to make yourself more acceptable to God. And then you've lost it. And then he says, Christ will benefit you nothing if you seek to be justified by the law. And by Christ, he does not mean Jesus. Jesus will benefit you because you'll be saved. But Christ, he means the anointing. The anointing is the one which prospers you. You know, Christ is not Jesus' second name. It's his office, meaning the anointed one. Now, the anointing will not benefit you if you try to justify yourself by your works. And by the way, if you're even conscious of what you do wrong, or what you say wrong, or what you might, I might say this, I might make this mistake, you have forfeited the anointing. Because the scripture says he will show you blameless. Very, very powerful. These are very, very powerful words. Because you can't be blameless. Amen? You will do stupid things. You do them every day. But he presents you as what? Blameless. And it is his duty, not yours. You see, eh? You just believe in him. Then when you make a mistake, he says, okay, I will present you what? I will show you what? Blameless. Now, in the same way, and I'm showing you this to show you that, these things which destroy, Paul says a little leaven destroys the whole lump. These things which destroy, like the scarcity mentality. 1 minute you can be thinking abundance and you're walking in abundance. The next minute, nothing is enough. Anything they give you, you're like a Kenyan sun. The more they give you, the more you wail. And you, and it is like that, it was a joke, but I said now how it encapsulates human nature. That you have what you're crying about. Then now you'll cry even louder. Now what, you see now, you defeat yourself now. The scarcity that you have been trained to have is a very big construct of Babylon. And they want it to be everywhere. And by that, let me tell you, this deception comes in all sorts of ways. Now there's even this health consciousness, which people get. Of course, we start, you know, where, you know, these vaccines are fake, these insecticides are fake, the food they give us is fake, what is fake, you know those things, eh? And it's true, you see, eh? But the purpose of you knowing all those things, to know that from the day you are born, there is wicked people who are fighting against your immune system. They come at you at every place. They will come at you by saying, no, 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 don't breastfeed, take formula. Then you fall for that. Then they say, no, 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 now do this. No, 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 now do this. Now do that. And they are fighting against your immune system because they want you to become sickly, because if you become sickly, you're a customer for the pharmaceutical industries all your life. And that's what they want, customers. Now, you can be careful. You know, I will not eat this. It is what? Now, the other day, I know sometimes I follow, you know, these people on Twitter. So every day they are telling you something which is dangerous. Which we see. Now, I like coffee. And sometimes I take Nescafe. But I know that guy is weird. And I know they put fake things in there, whatever. My point is this. The purpose of you having that knowledge is to come out of Babylon and know that in spite of all that they have done, you are here and you're going to be here. Jesus said they will eat poison, whatever. Mark, that those who believe in me, 16, they shall eat poison and will not hurt them. Now, I think you can be careful enough. The vegetables you eat, they spray them using fake insecticide. Now, I'm not saying go and look for fake things on purpose. But the point is, the idea is just to take you away from, it's like sin. They tell you about sin, they give you the knowledge of good and evil, so that you say that, okay, I cannot manage. I cannot sanctify myself. Let me just give it up to Jesus to do it. Now, in the same way, Jesus put it there. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly, including Nescafe. It will by no means what? Hurt them. Now, this is the life that he's introducing to you. This is coming out of Babylon. Otherwise, you see, people, I saw that if you want your vegetables to remove the insecticide, wash them in baking soda. That get baking soda poor. True. But then still, it's like sin. You can take away some, but you still remain a sinner without Christ. Because I want to do that for everything. Because the flour that you get, you don't know where it is made. The what? The chapati? Then they say cooking oil, you know? What oils that are not good? So use these cooking oils. Okay, even if you are that careful, won't you ever eat out? So you go to a restaurant, then you're going to ask, what oil did you use to make this chip? The purpose of it is to introduce this life to you. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly and will by no means hurt them. Now you know that those people are fighting your body. But you know that Jesus gave you another option, which is come out of Babylon. Okay? So now, you just go and say that my health does not come from being too careful. Because I can't be too careful. It comes from a new reality which Jesus presented to me. That I come out of Babylon, come out of that system, and present myself in another system. Okay? Now, it's the same thing as scarcity. No matter how much you try, unless you meditate yourself out of scarcity mentality, you will never have enough. One of the reasons, by the way, I used to look at people who are building, and okay, I had my other issues, as I've told you. But somebody says I'm building. Everything. You go and take a cup of coffee, say, kati amuni mkasawo kasemit. I say, people, can I have coffee? Without you reminding me that there is a bag of semit is how much. You know, and now you can build with a different mindset. You cannot have, when you buy a nice cloth, those are two bags of semit. You don't put your bondage on me. You go and build your house. Now, aren't we supposed to dress up just because of what? Because of cement. And you see, the mentality would get to people and somehow, okay, maybe they would end up building and that's good. But the idea is that you can do it with the mentality of abundance, of God, Jehovah El Shaddai, an abundance from every good work. Amen? So after the cement, and the utayimbwa, I have enough for what? For my cappuccino. And now you present it that way in your mind. That I'm not going to stop enjoying myself. I'm not going to stop dressing smart. I'm not going to stop eating well just because I'm building. I will build while I'm still doing all these things. Because I serve Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of what? The God of more than enough. That's what it means, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Not the God of enough, the God of more than enough. Amen? And you see now, for some reason, these Jews have always learned these things. And I learned that all of them live their lives according to that Proverbs 13:22. They take it very seriously. A righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. they take it very seriously. They will never die. Like they consider it a total failure if you die and you've not left an inheritance. Not just for your children, but for your children's children. It means you're a bad man. Because if you're a good man, you have to leave an inheritance. So it is an indictment. That's why scripture says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just his children. Now those people live by this, even those who don't believe in whatever. They know I have to have had enough to live a good life and to leave an inheritance. Not just for my children, but also for my grandchildren. That's how, by the way, those people take this thing seriously. I don't think there's any culture that takes this scripture as seriously as Jews. That's why they will bequeath so many things, they will get so many, and they work thinking generations. Now, people become poor because of belief systems. I remember when I was growing up in Hoima, I met some guy, and there was a saying which was going around. And okay, that was a time when I think maybe people used to die a lot and so on. So, but this saying took control, and people were saying Zoli de cause zizo. Now, if you believe that, you are in serious trouble. Now, the people who were saying that when I was growing up, they are broke like church mice. Because you work to eat, and something tells you that the only money that is yours is what you've eaten. And so you work to eat, you're like an animal. Like a cow once it eats. But let me tell you this. Do you know that the only species that thinks scarcity is human beings? There is none other. I remember when we had that office there in Bugolobi. I would see monkeys coming when the mangoes were ripe. Those monkeys understand abundance. They come, they pick a mango like this, throw. Like total waste. Now, like for them, they are not conscious that what if tomorrow there are no monkeys? That's your problem. Mangoes. Now it's only human beings, the crown of God's creation, who think scarcity. How is that? Don't you see it was taught to us by Babylon? So it is ingrained, because how come even when you go there among those Bararo, like in Western Uganda, they're asking her, is there grass that even has video or what? The cows are not worried. The men are the ones who are worried. The cows, for them, they know in the morning there will be grass. And then they go and eat and get satisfied. And then they go back. But it's the men who are worried for the cows. The cows are not worried for the cows. Now, there is no other. You look at even these birds and everything. But you know, all those animals. A lion will eat, will hunt and eat when it is hungry. And then it relaxes. It spends like 3 or 4 days without eating. And then it chills, it sleeps. It does not think that now I'm chasing two antelopes. Let me eat one and keep one for what? No. It knows when it is hungry again, it will hunt another one. And somehow it will be there. Do you know what Jesus said? That God himself feeds them. Then he said, now how about you? And you see, he's presenting something. Matthew chapter 6. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Like, they never think scarcity. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to stop. I want you to start meditating on abundance. I want you to start meditating on Jehovah El Shaddai. To know that you serve a God of more than enough. Not a God of enough. Now, more than enough exists first in your mindset, in your soul, before it materializes in your actual life. It says, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Okay? And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Praise the Lord. Now imagine what Jesus is saying. Earlier he says that isn't life more important than the clothes? You have life. You have what is more important. Now, this sounds, then he says, sufficient. Don't think about tomorrow. Now, of course, don't misunderstand that. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, in other words, if you have lunch, enjoy the lunch. Okay? Now, the day you actually put in your mind that it is God's responsibility to provide supper because he does it for the birds, you will not worry about anything. You see, he has committed himself. He made your body. He knows it needs food. Like you people, this is what Jesus is saying. The person who made your bodies knows what they need. He knows they need food. He knows they need water. He knows they need health. That's why he gave you an immune system, which is so strong that even Bill Gates cannot bring it down. Now, so Jesus is saying that don't worry about because you will never enjoy anything if you do not have that mindset of more than enough, having an abundance after every good work. After every good work, you have an abundance, something left over. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that you always, remember those words, always having all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work. The word always in some form is mentioned 5 times in that scripture, in that one scripture. God is able to make all grace, number one, abound towards you, so that you always, number two, having all sufficiency, number three, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen? Now, all grace, all the time, enough for every good work. Now, I want to tell you that at a time when I was living absolute scarcity, I meditated on this scripture, I'm telling you, until it was coming out of every part of my body. Even when you'd kukanga me, the first thing that would come, God is able to make all grace. If you came and woke me up when I wasn't expecting you, I would say, God is able to make all grace about what? I have an abundance for everyone. So because I was tired of scarcity. I was tired of not having enough. Every time when you need to pay a bill of 2 million, you have 1.6. When you need 1.6, you have 1.2. Amen? And somehow it is never enough. You live your life like that. When you need, you will never have enough. Then I said no, but the scripture says God can make me have an abundance after every good work. So that became now. I want you to go and meditate on Jehovah, the God of what? More than enough. Who says, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 10, it says that, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now this is a promise of God. Your barns are filled with plenty. There's enough food. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Not old wine. New what? New wine. Which means fresh. A fresh supply. All the time. Praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah. But you see now, for the most part, people think about, even when it says running over, Luke 6:38, given shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, running over. Running over. Amen? Shall men give into your bosom. Running over. Now, for the most part, people would think about running out, not running over. So always you think about running out. But God says running over. For him, he's thinking about running over. He's not thinking about running out. It's over. It's enough. It's pouring. You see? It's waste. You know, like what people call waste. You're wasting. But God says, running over. Your container is this big, it's running over. You're getting more than what your container is. And that's his way of overflowing. Even in the wilderness, when they cried out to God because they didn't have water. Psalm 78, verse 20. Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Then they said, can he give bread also? Then he gave them bread more than enough. Then they said, can he give us meat also? Then now he became angry because they were not asking him out of faith. They were asking him to tempt him. Then he gave them the meat, but when they ate it, it created a plague. But now, even in the desert, water overflows. And that's the God of, overflow. Psalms 23 verse what? Verse 5. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup what? Does not run out. It runs over. Praise the Lord. Now you're conscious of running out. You're conscious of your salary running out of your... But now God is saying, forget that consciousness. Where we are going, you have to start becoming conscious of Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, and expecting that it will always be more than enough. It will happen in your reality when it happens in your mind. All the time that I do not expect enough, I always expect more than enough. And remember, this scarcity of Revelation chapter 6 creeps in. It is so subtle, very subtle, that one day you'll be thinking abundance. But just like that, you find yourself thinking scarcity. And then you start asking yourself, now, what about this? What about that? What about what? Now I'd be having 2,000. You see, eh? And that becomes your mentality. Even if they give you 2,000, say, now I'd be having 3,000. So now you're never going to be satisfied all your life. That is a curse. And that's the curse of people who have chosen to serve mammon. Remember what the scripture says? That he who loves silver will never get tired of it. In Ecclesiastes. He who loves silver will never get tired of silver. And he who loves gain will never get tired of gain. So now, they'll convince you water is curse. Amen? And you're not supposed to get water from underneath in the city. You're supposed to buy it from National Water. And they could say to you, yet it is there, given by God, free of charge. So do you know what people do? They will go and dig it from up, then leave a few taps. Because if National Water comes and you have no bill, you're in trouble. You have to pay the Babylonian system. But Jesus also had to pay them. Remember when they came for a tax? And he told Peter that who do the kings of this world tax? Strangers or their children? He says strangers. Then he says, so then their children are free. Anyway, go and get a fish from the water and get out a gold coin and pay their tax. So now people go and most of the water, you have a swimming pool, what? But they come for your water bill. It is 38K a month. So how can you consume this? You check, isn't that what your meter is saying? Me, I'm on abundance. Which one? Because how can they change? God, like everywhere, anywhere you dig in, there's water. Everywhere, water. Here, randomly, down water. And the Bible says, he suspended the earth from water. So everywhere there is water. But somehow they are going to make it scarce so that you can't bathe. And they do it by what? No, okay, not that you can't bathe. But I was even seeing Trump say that they even passed a law of saving water. Have you seen those hotels where they say that you not save energy? Use your towel for again and again because you are saving energy. Then they say, over you will save how many ounces of energy if you can only just turn off the tap as you brush your teeth. Because abundance, you open the water once, then you brush when the water is flowing. Because God gave what? Abundance. But now, they start training you slowly. That you're wasting water. Turn it off. Then first brush. Then turn it back on. Now, it gets into your head. And let me tell you this. It is so easy for these things to get to your head. There's some, long ago, some gym I used to go to. And they said the gym fee was 40K. But if you don't have your own towel, they give you a towel for 10K. Now, when somebody tells you that, if you are not careful, they are putting you into Babylon. Because it starts in the mind. So the first thing that would come to mind was, I can carry my own towel and save 10K. Then you hear, watchman. 10K? You see, eh? Now, if you're not sensitive to this, you start thinking that you're saving. Eh? I'm saving water. I'm saving power. That you not save power, switch off all your, you know? Some of you can switch off fridges. those things now they train you in the art of scarcity. And now it becomes a reality, an absolute reality in your life. You think you're saving, that was save this amount of money. Save this by you've seen those abroad. Eh? Then they go and say, and now when you think saving, you actually, I remember one time I was in a store somewhere in America. No, I was just walking in a mall like this. I had a little money. It was all for, you know, shoestring. Every money was shoestring. So now I pass a shop which says that what? Outside they put a big sign that everything in this shop is $10 and below, beneath. So I'd finished shopping. I was going home. Then I saw the signpost. I said, eh? Then I first walked. I said, eh? $10. I ended up turning there. And there was rubbish. But you see, when you have the mind, now you see those things. Save this amount of money. Save. Now they're telling you to save to buy something you don't need. Now, the idea of abundance we're talking about is Psalms 23, which we are reading there. God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Now, these new things say I need nothing. That is a lie. That's not what it says. Need is basic. Want is luxury. I shall not want. I need water. But I want a swimming pool. I don't need a swimming pool to survive. What you need is what you need to survive. Isn't it? Eh? There is a difference between a need and a want. A car does not need air conditioning. Okay? It needs fuel. Because without fuel, it cannot function. But it also wants air conditioning so that you're comfortable. Isn't it? But air conditioning is not a need. It's a want. But you see, the scripture does not say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need. It says, I shall not want. In other words, I will want for nothing. I will have everything I want. And there is nothing that I want that I do not have. How do we get there? Through our meditation. Through the meditation of, we serve Jehovah, the God of more than enough. I'm not going to accept a scenario where I have enough or I have less than enough. If I find I have less than enough than what I need, I am going to go and meditate myself out of it. And by the way, let me tell you, it is so easy if you just decide. Remember this season we are meditating about wealth. So if you go and decide to start all the time meditating through overflows, you know, everything overflows. My cup runs over. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My cup runs over. It doesn't run out. It always runs over. Given shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Okay? Everything is in excess. Everything is more than one. Now, I have news for you. When you do that, you start thinking like a monkey, which has not been trained in scarcity. For it knows there will be another mango tomorrow. How is it sure? God. It doesn't know, but it knows about there will be a mango tomorrow. So it's not going to say, I was seeing those things. And actually, I remember admin saying, but they are so wasteful. And I'm thinking, okay, they are wasteful, but they know something we don't know. That God committed himself to make sure that he will give you what you want. Now, you have to be trained by Babylon in scarcity. And trained you have been to actually be concerned about things like food. There is not enough food. How can there be not enough food? Okay? Genesis 2:8, he says, he planted a Genesis 2:8. He says, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. In other words, not just food, even sight, like what you want. You know, this is not about needs. He's not looking at Adam's needs. He's looking at his wants. Okay, this one you need for food. This one you just need to feel nice. You know those beautiful flowers, which you're not going to eat, but just for you to feel nice. So you go outside and you feel nice. Like he has catered for everything. Okay? Now, when the fall happens, Adam starts thinking scarcity. But before this, there's nothing scarce. Good and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Do you know, actually, when I grew up, do you know what they were teaching us? That he told man not to eat of the tree of life. And I actually, it took me a long time when I started reading the scriptures to understand that actually that is totally false. It is true of the knowledge, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Revivals have ended because people know what is good and what is bad. That is knowledge that is supposed to be beyond you. Totally beyond you. What did he do? He did this. I remember one time I was in a certain church, then some guy said that, you know, this brother came and told me things are going bad, are not working out in his life. His, you know, business is not working and, you know, somehow money is not flowing and so on. Then I told him, what did you tell him? He said, I told him that otambula bubi, you know, that rubbish. Eh? And what did he mean by otambula bubi? He had a wife whom he was living with, whom he had not married officially in church. But they were living as husband and wife. And according to this man's theology, that's what God was punishing him for not what? For not, kutukuza. I don't even know where people get that crap from. That for not kutu, okay, it's good to go and get into a covenant, eh? But for not kutukuza is what? Is marriage. But then if you ask the man why he wasn't doing that, he will tell you it's because he didn't have money. And if you ask the other guy why he doesn't have money, it's because he has not kutukuza. So now we are in a dead heat. Which is which? So now there is total confusion. The guy wanted to. It's not like he had any other wife. He had that one. And they had children. But he's waiting to get money to have a decent wedding. But somehow God is so angry with him. That is rubbish. That is rubbish. Like, that is rubbish. Rubbish. And it puts people in bondage. Once the devil can sell you that, now you're going to be in bondage, and like you will be there condemning yourself because you're eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not of the tree of life. The tree of life. So I told this brother, because we had a very hot argument, I told him, so God is angry with him because he has not, kutukuzad. Eh? So I told him that, so is he worse than witch doctors? I know witch doctors who murder children who are living well. So if God is so angry, why doesn't he start with the witch doctors? Why does he start with this one who at least loves him and what? Only he has not kutukuzad. But other than that, he loves him and he's like, you see, what kind of God would that be? There are people who are murderers. Blocking roads for 30 minutes, for 1 hour. Why doesn't he start with those ones? But somehow he's coming for you who has not kutukuzad. But let me tell you, wrong theology can steal your life completely. That's what, Jesus said in John 10:10. He says, the thief cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And now when you ask people who is the thief, they will tell you the thief is the devil. And that is true to some extent. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. You read the whole context. He's talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees is the thief. You start from verse 7, let's say. From verse 7. He says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, is he talking about the devil? He's talking about the teachers who came before him, the Pharisees. They are the thieves. How do they steal from you? Wrong doctrine. Which makes you believe that somehow God is waiting for you to be worthy of him. For you to have any success in him. Now they will strip you of everything. And then you will never feel that you deserve abundance. You will never even when you start meditating on it, something inside you tells you you are not worthy. He says, all those who come through the and are thieves. And the whole context actually is talking about the Pharisees. Because what do? They condemn. All they do is condemn. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. And they are stripping people. And then he says, the thief cometh not. Of course, in general, the thief is the devil. But he also uses people. And mostly people who come with fake doctrine. Now, like that guy. Imagine, so now you're going to be there. You don't have money to kutukuza. And God is very angry with you. Like he's absolutely pissed with you because you've not kutukuzad. But man, people can feel it. So I almost went to blows with that guy. I told him, you're condemned. Not, I didn't go to blows, almost go to blows. In any case, he was bigger than me today. That'd been a good sight. Yeah. I am a bit cautious before I do those things. The guy is almost Robert size. Maybe if I'd gone to blows, I wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. If it is a Kenna, there we can what? There we can square up. But anyway, praise the Lord. So now, just as you've been taught by Babylon to think scarcity, I want you to go and teach yourself through the scripture to think abundance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just meditate on abundance. Meditate on Jehovah, the God of more than enough. Jehovah El Shaddai. All those names of Jehovah signifies a characteristic of his. Okay? So he's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Amen? More than what? Enough. When you have enough, you've not experienced Jehovah properly. You still have to go to class. Now, when you've done something and you have excess, then now you start experience. Now you know I'm beginning to experience Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to end turning this. All of this is your meditation. If you actually gave it just this week between now and next Friday, and every time you're praying, even during the day, every time you remember, you say, I walk in abundance because I serve Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And you just keep on saying it. Every time you remember, just say it, and continually say it. You will see a change in, first of all, in your thinking, which is so easy to do. But then in your what? In your livelihood, where you start having excess here and there. Excess. Until you start forgetting what? You know that you've arrived there when you start forgetting money in your pocket and you find it like after 1 year, I left 5 million here. Then you know now I'm Jehovah what? El Shaddai. No, I'm serious. Eh? Somebody told me even he shifted houses, but he hadn't completely shifted. Then he went back to get some suits which he had left there. Then he checked on top of the shelf and there was 100 million. He said, I'd left 100 million here. Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of what? More than, you've forgotten the money. You put it in your pocket and you forget it. Now, if you're so conscious of all the money you have, you know even where every car 20K, then you are not yet in Jehovah El Shaddai. You are Babylonian system. There are people who, even change, like you will insist on the change, you're down to the dot. And there are people like that. I remember some Muzungu lady, they were supposed to sponsor me to go to some place outside the country. They were supposed to buy my ticket. So I told her that, you know what, it's cheaper if I buy the ticket from here. You will just refund the money when I get there. She said, okay. So I bought the ticket and I sent her like the whatever of the ticket. It was, she paid me down to the $1 and cents. Like, you know where they say the ticket is $917.55. The chick even had the cent. I said, man. Then I told her, but man, you're so exact. I said, you're so exact. Then she told me not in everything. I don't know what that meant. But anyway. Honestly, that's what she said. I don't know what that meant, but I didn't pursue any further. Who are you laughing? Have you perceived something from there that I didn't perceive? Anyway, praise the Lord. I just wanted to make you laugh, Ko, because some of you, like, you've never forgotten even a 5K in your pocket. Never. Never. If you even washed 5K in your pocket. And then you give you take your clothes to the person who washes them. Not even a chinusu. Will they find there? You first open, then turn it upside down. You know what those Baganda say? Bompunzika. If you turn you upside down, like there is nothing. Now we are going to go and meditate on what? On Jehovah El Shaddai. Praise the Lord. Why are you people still laughing? Sandra, what's all? Anyway. Praise the Lord. anyway. My cup runs over. Praise the Lord. Say, my cup what? My cup what? That is, just say it all the day. My cup runs over. Say. Righteousness is by what you say. Praise the Lord. What you continually say. Do not. And then watch yourself. I've told you before that God intended throughout for his children to live in abundance. When they were in the wilderness, he was telling them, when you go into the promised land and you harvest, don't go back a second time to harvest. Harvest just once. What is left, you leave it to the stranger in your land to go and also get somewhat, some harvest. Don't be thorough. Like that lady. Like leave some, you know, something over. And it was a commandment. Don't go back. And even said, when you're harvesting, harvest carelessly. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now the day you can, like, you know, you have to learn to copy abundance. You have to learn how it works. When you say, how much money is it? Then you get without counting. Now Rutwama says, I'm telling you, life will treat you the way you do it. Everything is in the soul. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul what? You have to teach your soul that when God said that you're the head and not the tail, that's you. Okay? When God said you have to, you like, leave to the poor, he said, what you're saying is you're not supposed to be among them. Because you're saying you leave what, after the harvest, leave the rest to the poor. That means he does not expect you to be among them. Praise the Lord. Now you are there because you've been trained. Everything, scarcity. You know, you get money. Now how are we going to split this? The first thought that crosses your mind, how are we going to split this? Then you say, how can now I give this one, this, then what? Then the whole night, you're plotting how you're going to split 1 million shillings. Like you really are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Alan, you're in trouble. You spend the whole night plotting how you're going to split 1 million shillings. Like now, I give this one 50. How much is tithe? I think I will give offering next month. Now, somewhere, somebody is going to defy and say, no, that's not my portion. I live in abundance. And I'm going to whatever. Behave abundance. and have no thought. I know, let me tell you something. I know people, even some here, whom I know, some people might know here, who live, I saw them living a life. I can point out one person here who was living a life without any thought about where money is going to come from. And they never lacked it. I know. Until somebody came and took them off balance. And it is so easy to take you off balance. You start thinking, now where am I going to get this? Where am I going to get balance gone? Now you get away from abundance. Whereas there you can be living that life which Jesus was talking about. Life is more important than food. And your body more important than garments. So if God gave you life, he will give you food. If he gave you what? A body is going to give you garments. He doesn't expect you to move around naked or hungry. Eh? So it's automatic. Now, you don't think about it. Now, what Jesus was saying for some people is very careless. How do you live your life like that? But Jesus was saying you do that. And let me tell you, I've experienced living carelessly, what people call carelessly. But somehow you always have money. And I've experienced living carefully. Where you what? Somebody gives you 500,000, you even pull out a fool's cup and start writing. For 500K. Mcharawe nyanya. 40K. Praise the Lord. But I'm speaking as a joke, but the truth is, man, it's sad. It's sad to live your life like that. It is sad, and God does not intend it. That's not running over. And it's all in your mind. The day you decide, I'm not going to live like that, you will not live like that. You will enter abundance. It's your decision. You decide, I am not going to live like that. Amen? Anyway, let me tell you, I have been there where I am. Like, when you need, 2 million, you'll get 800K. The day you need 800K, you'll have 300. And that is perpetual, until that scripture, I meditated on that scripture. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I meditated and meditated until finally I went from short to enough. Then I had graduated. Then through more meditation, I went to a bit of what? More than enough. It is all through your meditation. What do you expect of God? Do you think he's there thinking about scarcity? Do you think the resources are scarce where he exists? Do you think God is sitting there thinking there's not enough food on the earth? Or not enough houses to house his people? Or not enough water? Or all the other things that people have made scarce? Praise the Lord. If you've been in a place where you buy a car because it consumes little fuel, and like, and the amount of money you think you're saving is very little. I remember a guy was the guy was big. He was probably like, let me end with this. He was probably like 6'3", 6'4", tall, and you know, some considerable size, like not fat, but you know these people who have a big body, and. He was driving a Vitz. And you know why he was driving a Vitz? That's a So you'd sit there and convince people that what? His car drinks well. One day we were seated there. You know, the people we sit with are downtown people with very bad tongues. So the guy told him, he said, name's a Jagwe. Within 1 week, the man had sold the car. And now the trouble is, they say, when they say it, when you really see the man falling out. I just said this. But sometimes somebody did. By the way, the best things that have happened. Some even me is kujiregaying. People can kujiregay you, and you just go and sit down and say, "Let me style up." Eh? Like they can. What is kujiregay in English? Eh? They can share you, eh? Like properly, and you just feel like when they said that thing to the guy, and you know, these people talk a lot. Eh?
who dominate the conversation and what. The minute they said that, the guy became humble. Within a week, he had sold the car. Now, then he bought a better car. But he was keeping himself. It took somebody to kujiriga. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I've spoken enough. Now, Jehovah El Shaddai. Praise the Lord. Jehovah who? The God of what? That's the God you serve. The God of more than enough. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap. Nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah El Shaddai. Amen? Now, for the poor, you are not supposed to be among them. When God gives that commandment, he doesn't expect you to be among them. Praise the Lord. It's only in government where they, okay, even there they are what, but official money where they exact. But in your personal life, you can't be exact. Praise the Lord. Amen. I finished preaching. Somebody say, money cometh.
Money cometh.
I am a child of Jehovah El Shaddai. The God of more than enough. Say, I am a child of Jehovah El Shaddai. The God of more than enough. Say, abundance is my portion. Overflow is my portion. My cup runs over. It doesn't run out. It never runs out. It always runs over. It always overflows. That is my portion. Because I serve the Lord God, Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you unveil your abundance to us here this day. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that may it settle on our hearts and our souls. And may we know what we stand for. May we know that we are the servants of the God of more than enough. And may we not settle for Babylonian system that seeks to make scarcity out of everything. That seeks to think they make us think there is scarcity of everything. Because we know, Heavenly Father, that before we were created, before we were formed, before we were made, you made everything that man will need before I even made man. And so it is with you, Father. We know that we have all things. Your divine power, according to 1 Peter 1, 3, your divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And therefore, we thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because we have everything that we need for our life and more than what we need. The God of more than enough. The God of more than enough. The God of more than enough. Say, the God of more than enough. The God of more than enough. Jehovah El Shaddai. He gives me more than enough. Not enough. Not less than enough. More than enough. That's my portion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.